This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. We're in a new studio, and I can't actually see if I'm on the air.
You're good, buddy.
I'm good? Okay, well, that's perfect. I definitely can't hear myself, so that's not ideal. But got quite the recruiting show for you today. Oregon State, in a key Pac-12 matchup of undefeated programs, hosting USC this weekend. They've got quite the visitor list for the weekend. We will go over that. I also want to have Jordan Johnson on. We used to host a podcast for 1080. He's been on fairly regularly over the course, especially in the fall, talking high school football in the state of Oregon. He ranks every 6A team in the state of Oregon. We'll have him on to talk about the top high school prospects and top teams in the state of Oregon in high school football. Who's got a chance to actually win this year's state title? But I wanted to start here. Over the weekend, Oregon played BYU in a massive, massive football game. Patrick, I don't know if you watched this game, but I am going to want your feedback here on this one. Oregon played BYU, massive football game, big visitor list. Oregon hosted a number of big-time prospects. One of them was Michael Van Buren, who's a top 10 quarterback in the country for the class of 2024. Not only is he very, very talented, he comes from St. Francis Academy in Maryland, who produces a ton of talent. And what's interesting about the new gig at Scorebook Live, and if you don't follow scorebooklive.com or SB Live Sports on Twitter, I highly recommend it. Not only am I doing the recruiting thing, but we have an entire network that covers almost every state in the country. And we do rankings for almost every state. We write about the top players in every state. There's articles about all the top high school teams. We have meetings every single day to go over every state, what's going on in Texas, California, Ohio. It's really, really fascinating. So when there's a school like St. Francis Academy that Michael Van Buren's from, like, oh yeah, they've got a loaded program. St. Francis is a big-time program in Maryland, and they often in history have been a pipeline for Penn State. So when you look at, like, why is Penn State good? Well, one, Pennsylvania's a good state. Two, St. Francis is near Penn State, and they've done a nice job recruiting that talent. So getting in with St. Francis could be good. Oregon offers Michael Van Buren. They also hosted North Salem quarterback T.C. Manumaleuna. And T.C. Manumaleuna made national news because during the game, some Oregon Ducks fans, and not a huge number, not multiple sections, it wasn't stadium wide, but a group of maybe 24 fans roughly, chanted F the Mormons. And TC was there on a recruiting visit. He chose to leave along with his family, in part because he's a member of the LDS Church. So I had a chance to talk to him. And he just said he was uncomfortable. It hurt his feelings. And it's turned into a really, really big story. And I think what happened is absolutely not okay. I'm not comfortable with it. I feel bad for TC. He said he's talked to the coaching staff. They've apologized. He doesn't feel that's a reflection of the football program. He's ready to move on. He said Oregon is still his favorite school. So in his mind, it's like, hey, this is getting used as a thing to say Oregon totally blew it, and I don't feel they did. I left because it was an uncomfortable situation, but I'm ready to move on, whatever. And now it's getting to the point of, like, let's look at the video and suspend or potentially expel any students who were involved in the chant. And I'm not comfortable with it. I don't condone the chant. But, Patrick, I've been to college sporting events a lot of my life, and I've heard chants that are that bad, that are personal, about religion or someone's girlfriend. I mean, there's been entire chants at college basketball games directed at someone's mom.
Yeah, college basketball is usually a lot worse. It's because you're right on top of everybody. Remember Chris Paul when his grandma died?
Yes.
At Wake Forest?
Yes.
Yeah, that was rough. Georgia Tech, sorry.
I'm really surprised. Well, Chris Paul played at Wake Forest.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really surprised that it's gotten kind of turned into what it's gotten turned into. When the recruit himself is like, yeah, we left at halftime because it kind of was uncomfortable, but like, I'm over it, and the staff apologized. I don't think it reflects the football program. I don't even think it reflects the entire student section or anything. It's just an unfortunate thing that happened, and I'm ready to move on. The fact that now we're going back and like, let's look at the film and maybe suspend the kids involved in the chant, if that's the bar, and it's not okay. People shouldn't be chanting F any religion, any race, anything personal. But I've been in student sections, and I've been in stadiums where the student section was way worse. I've been to Oregon high school football games or high school basketball games in the Child Center where a player had dated a member of the opposing team's school, broke up with her, and then started dating a girl at his own school. And the other student section basically chanted, like, our student's hotter. They said her name, though. It was like, Amber's hotter, while he was at the free throw line. And that no one even said anything. You know, I mean, no one, like, the principal didn't come up and, like, stop the chant, stop the chant. And the fact that we're at the point of, like, let's suspend the people involved, I'm kind of just uncomfortable with where it's going.
Well, I think what's interesting about the whole situation is it's tough to find that line of what's offensive and what's not offensive. You know, I think the recruit being there and being upset about that, it's a bad look. And I think with how much publicity and attention it's gotten, I don't know if it's worth your time and effort to go suspend kids. I think you should be educating them instead. I don't know. It's just gross. I'm just somebody, like, when I went to Wazoo, man, I can't really remember us doing stuff like that. Maybe because we're a lower school and weren't very good, but I can't ever remember, like, and maybe this is dating myself, maybe it's more of a new thing with social media, like knowing that a dude broke up with a girl and yelling at him. I don't know. It's just something I've never really been a part of.
I am in no way condoning it. And I know you understand me. I guess that's more for the listener.
For sure.
It's not okay. And there needs to be like a, hey, never again. And if it does happen again, here's the new precedent. If we find out it's you, you're on video, you're going to be suspended from school or whatever for a week or whatever the case may be. Set the precedent. But again, I've been to lots and lots and lots of sporting events in my life. And this is bad. It's among the not okay things I've ever heard. But it's not in the top five. And it's not even in the top three at Oregon. I just am a little bit baffled that this is the one that we're like, whoa, completely out of bounds. And I know it's about religion. I get it. It's not okay. I'm just saying, I've heard lots of chants that are really bad, and I'm really, really surprised. When the recruit himself is like, I've moved on, it's okay, Oregon's still my favorite, should they have done it? No, but I'm ready to move on, who cares? It's weird that we're still now a week later trying to, like, let's find film of who's involved. I just sometimes think we go too far with this stuff because it starts to go kind of semi-viral, and we just keep pushing the narrative forward instead of saying, okay, guys, let's let this one go.
Yeah, the Utah governor calling Oregon fans bigots, like, that just fires everything back up, and so now everyone has a super opinion on it.
Yeah, it's just a weird one to me. In general, I think a good weekend for Oregon. An interesting visitor over the weekend was Andre Stojakovic. And yes, he is the son of Peja Stojakovic. And I know a ton has been made about Bronny James, And listen, Bronny is a very, very good basketball player, and he's becoming better. In other words, if his name were just Bronny Smith, he probably would have been a guy that would have been the 80th or 90th best prospect in the country. So a solid four-star in basketball. He's becoming kind of a top 40, top 50-ish kind of guy, which is really good. That's that, like, Peyton Pritchard, Jackson Shellstead, you know, probably most years would be the best player in Oregon, definitely not a McDonald's All-American kind of player. He's good. Andre Stojakovic is different. That's a different level of prospect. Andre Stojakovic is maybe the best shooter in the country. He's the number 21 prospect in the country. He's a five-star prospect. And again, that layer of Bronny's getting the attention that, like, hey, Oregon has the Nike connection. Would they go after him? Bronny has not been offered by many, many, many of the schools that people keep linking him to. He has not been offered by Duke. Oregon has not offered Bronny in any way. So this idea that he's probably going to Oregon is a little far-fetched, at least now. He did visit Ohio State, but he visited Ohio State without an offer. After that visit, and LeBron was with him and on the sideline, he picked up an offer from Ohio State. That's his big offer. Stojakovic has offers from everywhere, and he's got UCLA and Duke and Texas and Oregon. He has visited UCLA and Stanford on official visits. He also recently visited Texas and Oregon. I know the general consensus right now is that UCLA is the leader. But you look at this Oregon recruiting class, and we make a ton of, we make a ton out of what Oregon does in football recruiting, and, you know, rightly so. I mean, I'm going to honk that horn because that's what I do. Basketball has actually had better recruiting classes. You know, Oregon's pushed for the number one recruiting class in the nation in basketball a couple times. Right now, their class sits at number 6 nationally. They got Kwame Evans Jr., who at the time of his commitment was the number 2 player in the country. He's dropped down to about number 11, still a no-doubt McDonald's All-American. They got Mookie Cook out of AZ Compass Prep, but he grew up in Portland. His first 2 years, he played at Jefferson High School. He's a top 15 prospect. He was as high as number 4, again, another McDonald's All-American. And Jackson Shellstead, the West Lynn point guard who recently started playing football for West Lynn, having not played since his freshman year and caught like a 40-yard pass in their win against Jesuit last week. So right away hits the field and makes an impact. He's a top 10 point guard in the country. That class is number 6. If they add Stojakovic, and that's not by any means a gimme, but it's possible because he just visited, their class would be number 2 in the country, behind only Duke. Now, we think of Duke as this juggernaut, and in recruiting, in the transition from Coach K to Coach John Shear, they've actually elevated. They're doing better now than they did with Coach K.
Well, the big thing also with that is John Shire was a big part of the recruiting.
No doubt.
So he's still on the floor. He knows what's going on.
They haven't missed a beat. They have 5 commitments. All 5 of them are 5-star prospects. So Oregon's not catching them. Guess what? Either is Baylor or North Carolina or whoever you want to say is one of those elite programs. Kansas. Hey, I hear you, Rob. I see you, Rob. Shout out.
Rock Chalk.
There you go. But Oregon could finish with the number 2 class if they pick up a 5-star commitment from Stojakovic. So that's the big one to watch. The other thing with this class is Mookie's a freaky, freaky athlete at like 6'8", long, highly skilled, can defend the 1 through the 5. Kwame Evans is another really long 6'11 center power forward who can defend really like the 2 through the 5. He's unbelievably agile for his size. And then Jackson Shellstead is a good shooter, can spread the floor a little bit, but he's your point guard. They need a shooter in this class. And that's part of the reason this whole thing between Stojakovic and Bronny, like who would Oregon rather have? And I know Bronny's a phenomenal basketball player. Again, you know, he's a guy you'd love to have, regardless of who his dad is. But between the two, if you're an Oregon fan and you're thinking like, we don't really need Stojakovic, let's get LeBron's kid. One, that's going to be a huge distraction. And two, Bronny actually doesn't fit what Oregon's recruited. He would be a nice piece, and why not? But by himself, Bronny actually doesn't really fit what Oregon's done, whereas Stojakovic is a perfect fit. They need a wing that can shoot, that can create a situation where if you double down on Evans or Cook or Kellel Ware in the low block, that you can kick out to one of the best shooters in the country. They don't have that right now. That's what Stojakovic would be. Separate from that, when we're just talking about this Oregon basketball program, number six class in the country right now coming in. Obviously, they won't play this year. They won't play till next year. But this year's class had Kel'el Ware. And I don't know if Oregon fan fully understands yet how good Kel'el Ware is going to be. Kel'el Ware is not only a five-star prospect, is not only a guy that now most people think is a one and done, but we've talked about in the history of Oregon's program, they've recruited these guys and they kind of haven't lived up to expectations. Malik Hairston, Michael Dunnigan, Infale Dante, you know, Nathan Biddle was as high as the number nine recruit in the country on ESPN, came in last year and didn't play very much at all. Bol Bol was kind of a disappointment. He played great for nine games, got hurt, never played again, went pro. Kel'el Ware is going to be elite. Kel'el Ware is going to be a first-team all-Pac-12 player. He's got a chance to be the Pac-12 player of the year. And we've heard this time and time again when people talk about Kel'el Ware. He played for Team USA, the high school team, essentially, the U18 team. And most games, he was their best player or second-best player. They're talking about him, and if Victor Wembanyama wasn't a thing, Kel'el Ware would be in the discussion for the number one pick in the draft. There are people who think Kel'el Ware is going to end up being the number two pick in the NBA draft. That's how good Kel'el Ware is. And I don't think people have put that together yet, that Oregon's about to have maybe the best freshman or one of the best two or three freshmen in the country. He blocks shots. He can almost dunk without jumping. He's got such a freaky wingspan, and he's 7'1", and he can dribble. He can shoot the three. He can kind of do it all. He's what people thought Andre Bargnani was going to be, except he actually does all those things, and he's an unbelievable rim protector. I think Oregon fan is really going to enjoy the Kel'el Ware experience. So a lot to look forward to when it comes to Oregon basketball. You're watching for Stojakovic in the long term. In the short term, get ready for Kel'el Ware. I want to pivot to Oregon high school football. Frankly, with my job now being national, I've taken a step away a little bit from high school football. Jordan Johnson has not. Every week he ranks the top teams, or excuse me, every single team in 6A in Oregon. Who are the top teams in Oregon? Who's really got a shot to win a state title? Who are the best players? Who are the best prospects? We will break down all of that in the next segment with Jordan Johnson. That's next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Progressive. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We cover them all from Scorebook Live. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Joining me now, it is Prep Red Zone Regional Scout Jordan Johnson. He covers Oregon and Washington. JJ, how you doing, my man?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm good. Dude, I'm good. I'm good. I with the national job, I've kind of taken a step back from Oregon. I used to be able, honest to goodness, I think I could tell you every top 10 team's starting offensive line, their entire defense, the whole deal. And now I know who some of the top teams are, but I'm not sure who could win it. So I wanted to have you on to talk about it. First of all, listen, there are years where we know it's going to be either Central Catholic, Jesuit, or Lake Oswego. There are years where it's like, man, if there's a championship, it's going to be Westland. And then COVID happens and Westland doesn't get to win their title that they should have won. How many teams have a real, real shot to win the state title this year?
I mean, I think this year, probably more than any year in recent memory, it's really open. I got five teams that have a legit shot this year: Sheldon, Westland, Jesuit, Tualatin, and of course Central Catholic, the reigning state champ. So 1 through 5, those are my 1 through 5 in that order right now. It's obviously still early. heading into week four. But, you know, I mean, it's an interesting year. A lot of those seasons that you and I have covered, there was a clear-cut favorite and there was a 40-point difference in the state title game. So this is an interesting season, I would say. And it's going to come down to, I mean, that those quarterfinals, you're going to have probably Sherwood, Clackamas, maybe a very rising quickly, a Mountainside program. So it could be a real fun quarterfinal season.
Can I do this? I don't know if this is a good idea or not. I didn't ask you this off the air. If I go over each of those five teams, can you give me like one or two sentences on team strength, potential weakness, like what this team is and what they could do to
Absolutely.
Win? Can we do that? So Sheldon, number one, a little bit of a surprise. They're a great program and have been for years under Coach Johnson, but they're not traditionally number one. They're number one this year. What makes them number one right now?
So right now they have, as you know, the state's number one recruit, Tatum Toyota, came in from Nebraska. He has filled a huge void, especially on defense. Them coming to West Lynn and getting that 35-31 win to start the season, I mean, that is beyond huge for them. Brock Thomas, the quarterback, he has, I think, 6'7" Division I offers. He's a 6-foot, 180-pound, just super good athlete. Finished fourth in the 100 meters. He had 43 touchdowns last year, 22 passing, 21 rushing. So the balance that they have with a few new recruits, they have a line. As you know, a lot of high schools, especially in Oregon, do not have lines. Luke Layton, 6'5", 190, running around playing receiver and linebacker. So it's the best team they've had in 3-4 years. And once again, as you know, over the last couple decades, Sheldon might be the most tradition-rich program in Oregon, winning three state titles. So as of right now, they're my number one.
West Lynn, what do you like about West Lynn? That seems silly because it's usually everything lately. They just have numbers. But what do you like about West Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, so they could win the next five state titles. In fact, if I was to bet right now, I would take West Lynn to win this year's state title, even though they just lost to Sheldon. They have a bunch of young guys who are starting that started last year as sophomores. And, I mean, the depth of that roster is ridiculous. Like, that's another thing, especially in the state with numbers going down. People do not have depth. They do. They have a line. I mean, they have a Washington State commit, Sam Levitt, the Donnerberg twins, Mark Hamper's going for 300+. I mean, they just got dudes everywhere. And those young guys, those freshmen, those sophomores have never lost through youth, through, you know, they don't know what losing is. And I don't think they're about to start now. So West Lynn is number two, but I mean, I think they learned from that loss to Sheldon, and they'll rebound nicely during what is going to be a brutal TRL season.
We're talking to Prep Red Zone regional scout Jordan Johnson. He covers Oregon and Washington, going over his top five teams that could potentially win the state title. We went over Sheldon and West Lynn. Jesuit, what is it about the Crusaders that makes you believe they could potentially win a state title?
So they got beat by West Lynn, as you know, last week, 31-20. They got the line. They call themselves the franchise. Once again, if you got a line, you got a shot. It's no secret what they're going to do. They got a 6'4", 200-pound running back, Peyton Roth, who a lot of people don't know about it because he went down with an injury after, I want to say, three games last season. But then they have a junior running back, Lonnie Burt Jr. Both of those kids are going to be 300, you know, give or take, together, 300 rushing yards a game guys. And so it's going to be no secret. Like, they're playing Sherwood right now, who I got at number seven, and those two are going to run. So Jesuit is senior heavy. They got a line. Liam Cassidy's got that UNLV offer. He's 6'6", 300 pounds. So they'll be in the mix, and they continue to get better. As you know, Jesuit is, they're fundamentally sound. They do things right, and they'll be in the mix as well.
Tualatin Timberwolves, they've been on a streak in the last few years where they've really turned it on and been the program of old. They were great in the 90s, it seemed like, and maybe even earlier than that. And now they're good again with a new coach. What do you like about them? I imagine it starts at quarterback with Jack Wagner.
Yeah, I really like Tualatin, the program, the way they go about things. Jack Wagner would probably be my leading candidate for 6A Player of the Year honors right now. He's 6'4". 195 pounds. Last year, he averaged 11.3 yards a carry, running the ball as a 6'4", 200-pound quarterback. He's an outstanding baseball player. He throws well. He's committed to Idaho as of right now, but I can see a host of people jumping in the mix and trying to get him later, mid-majors or Pac-12. But with Jack surrounding him as a what I would call a special perimeter, last week, for example, he threw four touchdowns all in the first half. All four touchdowns were to juniors. Jaden Fournier is 6'5", 210-pound tight end.
He's visiting Oregon State. By the way, Jaden Fournier visiting Oregon State this weekend to give people an idea. He's a Pac-12 recruit.
Yep. And then Luke Ash transferred from Clackamas, and he's running the ball this year for them. And he is, you know, he's not your prototypical. He's 5'9", 170, but he's legit. I mean, he's real deal. So I really liked Walton. If they can show up on D and get some line play, Richie Anderson committed to Colorado State. You know, he's 6'4", 220 coming off the edge. One thing that hurt was Will Wilson, the Northern Arizona commit, went down with an injury early. And that's a tough one because he's one of the two top linebackers in the state of Oregon, in my opinion. Between him and Jack Wagner, they could have two big sky players of the year in coming seasons. That's getting way ahead. But I really liked Walton.
Central Catholic, as you mentioned, it could go in any order. You have them at number 5. They've won back-to-back state titles. They lost Riley Williams, the elite tight end, to IMG Academy. He committed to Miami over Oregon and others this summer. When it comes to Central Catholic, I don't know what Crew Newman's going to be in college. I don't know what type of prospect he is, but he's about as good a high school quarterback as you'll find. It reminds me of Tim Tawa in that way, in the sense that he's just an unbelievable high school quarterback. It's just going to be interesting to see if the recruiting catches up.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, he was the player of the year within the conference as a sophomore, and they won the state title. I almost feel silly putting them at 5. Because I would never have a team ranked 5 that I would say has a real shot of winning the state title, but it would surprise me not at all if they did. I mean, like, I've doubted Central a couple seasons in a row, and they've made me look bad. So Crew Newman, that kid he's special. Once again, he's 5'11". He's undersized, but he just gets it done every single. He would be, other than Jack, probably the 6A player of the year favorite, along with maybe Hamper. So they got special kids. They did, like you said, they did lose a couple with Riley going to IMG, and they lost some linemen in a nice senior class from last year's state title group. But Central has as good a chance as anybody to win the 6A title.
Got to get you out on this one. Everybody knows about Joey Olson, recently committed to USC. AJ Pugliano out of North Medford, the 2 4-star tight ends in the class of 2024. Who's a player that doesn't have necessarily a ton of offers right now that you think down the road is going to get more attention and deserves more attention now?
So Wiley Donnerberg, 6'4", 200-pound wide receiver / safety, weak side linebacker out of West Linn. Him and his brother Gus, twins, great size, great genes. I think he's going to be a special, special kid. I think he'll end up being a double-digit D1 offer athlete out of West Linn. He's averaging 15 yards a catch right now, and he was a second-team all-TRL kid as a sophomore. So Wiley Donnerberg is a kid I really, really like. Also, Chip Allers out in Bend at a Summit. You know, they're breathing a little life back into 5A football. You and I have talked numerous times about 5A, and it's just kind of been down. There's a huge separation between 6A and 5A. Well, I think Summit is a pretty special 5A group, and Chip Allers has a couple D1 offers, nothing crazy, but he's a 6'3", 215-pound backer that runs a 4.5 laser 40. That I think he's going to be a pretty special college player. So I do like those two kids in particular. We're going to find out a lot with these teams that we just referenced.
Jordan, you want to stick around for another segment? I want to talk prospects with you in Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Jordan Johnson of Prep Red Zone will be our guest when we come back talking top prospects in Oregon and Washington. That is the region he covers. That is next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick, featuring Scorebook Live Director of Recruiting, Andrew Nimmick.
They might have priced themselves out of the rest of the top 50 recruits.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
We will have Jordan Johnson of Prep Red Zone back in just a second. The call dropped again with a new studio. We are dealing with some different issues, but I did want to go over, because he covers Oregon and Washington, some of the top prospects in the entire Northwest region, because there are a bunch of them. And really, when you look at it, Washington just has so many more prospects.
Hey, bud, I got you.
We got him?
Yeah, we got him.
Jordan, you there, man?
Yep.
Perfect. I was just saying, there's a lot more prospects in Washington right now than Oregon, and I actually think it's even potentially, and you might disagree, I think it's maybe even more extreme than people realize. Not only does Riley Williams move on, Joey Olsen and AJ Pugliano, both at one point were top 100 prospects in the entire country, both have dropped significantly. They're good players, but when you talk about those elite, elite, elite potential five-star guys, right now Washington has a handful of them with guys like Jason Brown. They've got one of the top linemen in the country, and Oregon, it kind of looks like we thought, or at least I thought, it was a little bit of a down cycle, and maybe there's a little more depth with guys like Jaden Fortier entering the mix and you know, Wiley Donnerberg and those guys. But in terms of top-end talent, it seems like it all went to Florida with Riley Williams.
Yeah, I mean, Washington has traditionally done a really good job, I mean, with their on the recruiting front. I mean, it's a numbers thing. They do have us by quite a bit on the numbers side, but you're right. Linemen. I mean, that's been a huge difference. Tomorrow, Lake Stevens is down here at Washington's top team playing West Lynn. They got Jaden Lamar, the Notre Dame commit, will be going toe-to-toe with West Lynn. So I've got West Lynn favored to win that game. But from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. What we have are essentially Big Sky and mid-major type kids from top end, other than maybe like a Sam Limit who's committed to Washington State, or a Tatum Tuioti who's committed to Oregon. Whereas Washington's got, you know, 15 Pac-12 guys, you know, a host of other kids up there with size. So you're accurate. It's not like that every year, but there is definitely some separation between the two states.
Tatum Tuioti committed to Oregon, his dad obviously on staff for the Ducks. When he came over from Nebraska, he was a three-star guy, a good player. Wasn't real sure what he was going to be, and frankly, there were moments where it's like, is this an offer that, you know, his dad's on staff, and you know that's why he's there. But as this season has unfolded early, he sure has looked the part. What do you get out of Tuioti that makes you feel like maybe Oregon got themselves a ball player?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know either. I mean, I watched this film, but you don't. I didn't have any basis for comparison watching Nebraska high school football, so. When he got out here, I think he's kind of been that X factor. When they showed up and beat West Lynn at West Lynn to start the season, he was, you know, 4 sacks, 13 tackles, 6 hurries. It was ridiculous what he did against a really good football team on the road. So he's shown me over the first few weeks, plus, well, Sheldon's got a few other top interior linemen, a Josh Merriman, 6'4", 270. They got some kids on the perimeter that goes with Tatum, so they can't just double team him or triple team him. They have to account for other guys as well. So that's why Sheldon could be a problem late in the season.
It's been interesting because I do see that recruiting gap, and it's, I mean, it's very, very obvious when you look at the recruiting rankings. You look at the class of 2024. Again, Oregon has a couple of guys who are 4-star prospects, but I'm just put simply have dropped over 100 spots in the rankings as they've been updated. On the flip side, Washington has 8, 9, 10 of those guys, and some of them are rising where they might have 2 or 3 5-star guys by the end of it. And yet when they've played lately, actually Oregon's kind of held their own. You had Central Catholic beating Bellevue, as you mentioned, West Lynn, Lake Stevens. This weekend's going to be quite a test. What is it about Oregon's top teams that they've been able to hang? Is it depth for some of these great programs? Is it that all the kids are transferring to 5, 6 good programs, and so all the talent's there? Why is it that even though the stars don't align the same way for Oregon as Washington, when they go head-to-head this year early, it seems like Oregon's actually kind of had Washington's number?
So it's a great question. If you just take Southwest Washington, which has been dominant with Union and Camas and a few of those other teams over the years, they have been beat by Oregon teams recently. That never happened, you know, with 5 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, they were getting blasted by those Vancouver schools. John Eagle, the coach, former coach of Camas, is now West Lynn's head coach. So there have been some interesting changes. Eastside Catholic, O'Day, some of the schools that are, you know, Kennedy Catholic, some of those schools up in Washington that have played a national schedule, been ranked high. They're not quite as good from the team standpoint, because you are correct. I mean, Central Catholic going to Bellevue. Bellevue was 14-0 last year, won the state championship. Central goes up there, and I had them as like 9.5-point dogs going up there, and they won that 24-23 with a not a completely new team, but it definitely wasn't the reigning state champs from last season. So once again, that's a team I have ranked number 5 going up to Bellevue, winning that game to start the year, but then playing the number 1 team in the nation, St. John Bosco, and losing 49-0, which, you know, doesn't really mean a whole lot because it's the number 1 team in the nation. But you're correct. There's a few different, I would say Oregon team-wise is a little up, but recruiting-wise, it's still kind of the same. Washington's got Oregon by quite a bit.
And that's the next layer that people don't fully understand is, like, Oregon and Washington, they have some really good teams. They do. When you get out to, like, St. John Bosco, modern day, IMG Academy, IMG Academy lost a game early in the season. They have something like 6 5-star prospects just on defense, including the nation's number 1 and number 2 corner. I mean, when we talk about how loaded those teams are, IMG Academy, honest to goodness, has an entire starting lineup that is not just good players, but like Florida State, Alabama, LSU offers, and they lost to a team in Florida. That's how deep some of those programs are in Florida and California, where it's just next level. It's just been fascinating with the new gig to follow some of those teams. Modern Day and St. John Bosco, again, getting back to like how it's different. Both Modern Day and St. John Bosco have 4 freshman wide receivers. Freshmen. They don't play varsity. They're just up-and-comers. And all 8 of those guys collectively, they project to be blue-chip prospects and potentially all top 100 prospects. It's just unbelievable how different it is. Okay, I want to get you out on this. Joey Olsen just committed to USC. AJ Pugliano's uncommitted. What do you think in terms of Joey Olsen at USC, AJ Pugliano at North Medford? Obviously, the tight end position pretty loaded at Oregon. You mentioned Wiley Donnerberg is another good tight end. How good is this tight end group, and how does it compare to some of the other states? Does Oregon just kind of have this rare year where they have some pretty good Pac-12 caliber tight ends and the rest is down, or are people just not recognizing maybe some of the other positions?
Well, I mean, with regards to Joey, USC, we're going to find out really quick where he stands with some of those guys out there. He's listed as a wide receiver, but, you know, we talked about it earlier with Luke Musgrave and some of those tight ends. I mean, I think he'll end up at that position, whether he likes it or not. But this year with him, with Jaden Fortier at 6'5", 210, with Charlie Crowell at 6'5", 235, the tight end out of Summit. I mean, we have 4 – Gus Donnerberg, 6'4", 200 pounds out of Westland. We got 4 or 5 tight ends in Oregon right now that are Division I guys. Whether they end up on the offensive side of the ball, who knows? But it is a kind of a special year. The 2024 class is what I'm referencing there. With 4 or 5 tight ends. I mean, we don't usually have anywhere close to that with one position projecting at the D1 level. So it'll be fun to watch and pretty unique, but. With regards to Joey, I mean, good for him. I mean, going to USC, committed to USC. It's going to be. I think it'll be tough. I mean, they're looking really good, and we'll find out quickly. Especially playing Oregon high school football, he better go dominate everyone he plays the rest of this year. If you're going to go do something at USC, I mean, go kill it and help Lakeridge, because Lakeridge has dudes as well.
Yeah, and you look at that USC class coming in next year. They have the number 1 receiver and Makai Lemon, who's kind of an, air quotes here, an afterthought, and some people have him as the number 1 athlete in the country. So the number 1 wide receiver and the number 1 athlete, that's their receiving core for next year in terms of incoming talent. So they're going to be loaded. Jordan Johnson, Prep Red Zone Regional Scout of Oregon and Washington. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, prepredzone.com. It's a phenomenal group. Cover about 40 states throughout the country. Got a top 200, the 2023 class, a top 150 for the 24 class, and then a top 100 for the current sophomores, the 2025 class. You can go through, check out the rankings if you're interested, and I appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Take care.
Want to go over Oregon State's visitor list. Who's visiting Oregon State this weekend for their big matchup against USC? We will wrap up the show with the Oregon State visitor list, including a pair of good, high-caliber four-star prospects. That's next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Big weekend for Oregon State, not only hosting USC in a battle of unbeaten Pac-12 programs, but also on the recruiting trail. They're hosting a number of key prospects this weekend. Spent the week kind of making sure and going over it. Here's a list of players who are supposed to be visiting this weekend. And it starts with Aiden Chiles. Aiden Chiles is committed to Oregon State, a class of 2023 quarterback. And Oregon State evaluated him, and it looked like he was going to commit. He set a commitment date, and he told me, after this all transpired, I set the commitment date so I could just commit to Oregon State. In the week leading up to his announced commitment date, Oregon and Washington offered. And this was before Oregon landed Dante Moore, the number one quarterback in the country, number two quarterback in the country, depending on who you listen to. And Oregon ended up kind of backing off a little bit. Washington really wanted him. And Chiles ended up sticking with Oregon State. He delayed his commitment, chose Oregon State, and then since that time, his stock has gone up. He's moved up to a four-star prospect on 24/7 Sports. He's now the number 17 quarterback in the entire country, and he's locked in. So he visits this weekend, and you've got to imagine, when you're hosting a big weekend, having your four-star quarterback on campus to help you recruit is huge. The other commit that's going to be on campus is Isaiah Chisholm. And I think this is a big one for Oregon State. If you are an Oregon State fan, you are going to become a fan of Isaiah Chisholm really quickly. This is a kid that took a visit and decided as part of his visit to kind of just walk around Corvallis. And he said he just fell in love with the people. Everyone was friendly. Everyone was nice. They asked him if he was a football player. Obviously, he's this big muscular linebacker. And he said yes. And then people were asking him if he was going to maybe come there. And they were really curious. He had offers from USC and Washington and Utah and Arizona and Cal, more than half the Pac-12, and they all wanted him. And he said not only did he love Corvallis, but he's watched Oregon State scheme, and he's seen that their inside linebackers lead the Pac-12 every year in tackles, that their scheme puts a lot on the linebackers to clean up, and he wants to be a 100-tackle guy. And I think he will be. If he wins a starting job, I think he's going to end up being a 100-tackle guy at Oregon State. He's a three-star prospect, but he really fits what they do. Beyond that, it's a lot about laying the foundation for the future. Oregon State hosting a number of 2024 prospects. In-state prospects, Sheldon's Nico Clem. He's the top corner in Oregon in the class of 2024. He's visiting Oregon State this weekend, along with Jaden Fortier. We talked about Jaden Fortier in the previous segment with Jordan Johnson. A three-star tight end, another one of those really good tight ends in the class of 2024 coming out of Oregon. There's just a bunch of them. The state of Oregon actually has about seven prospects who are good and have a chance to actually be FBS prospects all of next year for the entire 2024 class. And you could make an argument that five of them are tight ends. That's how good the tight end group is. It's just a loaded year for tight ends. So he'll be an interesting one. Oregon State obviously utilizes their tight ends a lot and has done really well at tight end. That's a credit to Brian Wozniak, who might be one of the better tight end coaches in the entire country. Four-star athlete Rayshon Clark visiting this weekend. He'd either be a four-star wide receiver or defensive back. He's that versatile. He's that good. He's a top 100 prospect nationally. Three-star offensive lineman Dylan Skiorski out of Sumner High School in Washington. He's the number 27 interior offensive lineman. Oregon State has made him a major priority. His only Power 5 offer right now is from Oregon State. There's a lot of interest in the Pac-12 in this kid. He's a good player, 6'5", 300 pounds. Oregon State really wants him, chance to get him this weekend. Fox Crater out of Vancouver, big-time player, 6'6", 275-pound player. He's only a three-star prospect, but already has offers from Arizona State, Miami, Oregon, Oregon State, UNLV, and Washington. Mason Cowgill and Jackson Cowgill, two giant tight end defensive linemen out of Colorado. That pretty much rounds out the list. There's been rumblings. Dalen Austin has said he is visiting. I have not confirmed that with him outside of his tweet. He's the number 14 corner in the nation, a four-star prospect. Offers from Alabama, LSU, Michigan State, and others. He is another player I would watch very, very closely. Going to be interesting. As always, really appreciate you listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. We'll be back next week breaking down how these visits went, and I will have a prospect guest talking about either Oregon or Oregon State. We will make sure to start bringing some guests on during this fall football season. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.